All right, that's pathetic. That is sad. On brand, how are you? How's it going? Yeah. All right, cool. This is the third time I'm speaking at On Brand. I'm very excited. And today, I'm going to talk about the exploitation of purpose. We all hear purpose in the work we do. All brands are talking about purpose. They, you know, you need a purpose. You need to stand for something. And I want to talk about how perhaps it's that term purpose and the concept of purpose has perhaps been appropriated for the wrong reasons. How can we take it back? How can we give it more meaning? So just by way of introduction, just so you know who I am, my name is Alain. I'm the founder and CEO of Sylvain Labs, which is a strategy and design consultancy headquartered in New York. We're about 40 people. We have an office here in Amsterdam. We have about 5 people here in Amsterdam. We also have an office in Richmond, Virginia. And what else can I tell you? We are a certified B Corporation, and we help companies think about the future of their products and brands. I want to start by talking about this dude, John Rock. So John Rock was born in Massachusetts, in a little town called Marlborough, Massachusetts, about 30 miles outside of Boston. He was the youngest of 5 kids. He had a twin sister. And he grew up in a very devout Catholic neighborhood in Boston. If you know Boston, you know that it has a huge population of Irish Catholic families. And he was sort of indoctrinated with a hardcore Catholic upbringing. And his father was a prominent businessman and a politician, and he wanted his sons to go on into business. And he sent John Rock, to Guatemala. He ended up working as an accountant for a banana plantation. And while there, he volunteered quite a bit at a local hospital. He ended up coming back to Boston and going to Harvard, where he did his undergraduate work, and then he moved on and got a medical degree. He graduated in 1918. He then became an expert in obstetrics and gynecology. He learned a lot about fertility. He worked with all social classes, lower classes and upper classes, to help women better relate to their fertility. As an Irish Catholic, he wanted bigger families. He wanted people to enjoy bigger families, but he also saw the potential suffering that incurred when women had unwanted pregnancies. And he saw that they weren't able to take care of their kids. And it really tormented him and conflicted him, because it disturbed him how you needed to have a certain amount of control and access to resource to really have a thriving, healthy family. He ended up studying fertility, and he sort of worked on both sides of it. He did a lot of work around IVF. He's one of the pioneering researchers behind in vitro fertilization. But really, what he's known for is one of the inventors of the birth control pill. With his partnership with other doctors and Margaret Sanger, who was an activist, he discovered a way to use a women's natural hormones, progestin and estrogen, to help stop ovulation, which was a fucking unbelievable invention, because it gave women finally the right to control their bodies and determine how and when they wanted to have a baby. It was revolutionary. And for him, it was important because of this bigger picture of giving women the right to control their bodies. Now, this was deeply conflicting for him. It was a heavily conflicting moment, because it flew against everything he believed with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was deeply offended by the pill. They felt that any form of contraception was unnatural and should be deemed unethical. And so John Rock, who at this time was already about 70 years old, was heartbroken. Now, the U.S. FDA, the Federal and Drug Administration, approved the pill in 1960. And so finally, we got the permission from the government. Finally, this amazing invention, which was going to revolutionize the way women's health sort of evolves, had the permission to succeed. And lo and behold, the Vatican still stood against John Rock. Devastated, he went on a one-man campaign to try to convince the Vatican to change their mind. He wrote a book, The Time Has Come, A Catholic Doctor's Proposal to End the Battle Over Birth Control. He was a celebrity, really, because he stood his ground. He was like, I am a Catholic, but yet I believe in the woman's right to control her body. A few years later, in 1968, the Pope came out and said that the pill is wrong. It's immoral, and it's unnatural. And John Rock spent the next two decades of his life estranged from the Catholic Church. This is his actual tombstone, and it makes me sad because this is the only sort of marker we have for his life. Now, this to me is a profound example of purpose. Someone that was committed to something from early on to the end of his life, it was his purpose. His purpose was greater than his beliefs. And he said this famous quote, "Always stick to your own conscience, let no one ever keep it for you." I think this is profound because the people that were sort of running the Catholic Church at the time were just people. But John Rock's belief was greater than that. And his purpose was greater than that, so much so that he sort of had no qualms, unapologetic qualms, to depart from the church, even as hard as that may have been. You know, there's this story where this woman goes by and she says, "You should be afraid to meet your maker." She said that to John Rock. "You should be afraid to meet your maker." He replied, "My dear madam, in my faith, we are taught that the Lord is with us always. When my time comes, there will be no need for introductions." Unflappable, committed purpose. Now, purpose, okay, that was a long setup. Purpose, what I wanted to do is I want to ground you in what purpose means. We as brands and as marketers, we throw that term around a lot. You know, purpose this, purpose-driven blank, purpose-driven that. But let's remember really what that term means. Let's not, we've been sort of rendered that word meaning, that term meaningless. Purpose really is the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists. It's sort of the heart of why we do what we do. And as humans, we in fact process our world through the lens of purpose. Everything we do is imbued with some sense of purpose, some sense of greater meaning. Everything from our primal instincts to perhaps procreate and have children, or the choices we make and travel, you know, literally when we sit on the beach, it serves a greater purpose, perhaps about escape, perhaps about belonging with our loved ones. Even the products that we create and consume, each one is imbued with some deep, fundamental reason for being. You know, the story of the Post-it note, 3M had this amazing adhesive. They didn't know what to do with it for a decade until they discovered the purpose, which is, of course, this amazing invention. Even social media, as a lot of us consider really sort of shallow and sort of disposable, social media plays a very fundamental purpose. It's what connects us. In fact, it's what connects people around the world. Social media is, in a way, a language. It's the way culture might deliberate some of the bigger issues it has. So why? Why purpose? Why do we imbue such significance to purpose? And let me give you a few examples. What makes purpose special? Purpose is sort of it shapes the human experience. It's literally why we do what we do, everything we do. It shapes the human experience. It informs our identity. You know, there's this parable of the three bricklayers. You know, the first bricklayer is asked, you know, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm laying brick." The second bricklayer says, "I'm building a church." And the third bricklayer says, "I'm building the house of God." The purpose is what defines our identity. And we all view it our lives, whether we know it consciously or not, through the lens of purpose. Purpose is what also connects us to kindred spirits, to the community. You know, it's funny, Beyoncé's music is out of control. And by the way, I haven't done a presentation without Beyoncé in about 8 years. Beyoncé is amazing. Her music's amazing. But her product might actually be the like-mindedness of her community. You know, the Beehive. What is she actually selling? She might be selling community more than anything else. Purpose gives us reason to live. The awareness of our own mortality drives us to live a life with intention. Purpose is essential to our well-being. There's all sorts of research that shows when you have a better understanding of your purpose, you are happier. It drowns out negative thoughts. We have something like 80,000 thoughts over the course of a day, and virtually all of them are negative sometimes. And so purpose, when you have a purpose, it actually drowns that out and distracts you from those negative thoughts. And there's research that shows that having a purpose actually makes you less self-centered because you're thinking about things greater than yourself. Purpose gives us a sense of self-esteem. You know, these are great footage of people, the last people that finished the New York City Marathon. And for them, it's always a deeply motivating experience. And when they cross that finish line, it's moving. It gives them a great sense of meaning, of self-esteem. Purpose gives us hope. Tons of research that shows that when you have a purpose, it actually has the power to deliver endorphins and perhaps even mute pain itself. There's research that shows that purpose is actually not very different than morphine. Purpose can be contagious. When you see someone with purpose, there's sort of a primal connection where you all follow the same idea and you all are bought into the same concept. You know, when you don't have purpose, it sucks. You know, Napoleon, who was, of course, a dominant military leader for a long time in France, he spent the last 10 years of his life in a estranged, exiled in a spiral of despair because he did not have that natural purpose. Or you think about footballers. 39% of former professional footballers surveyed in a 2014 study reported suffering from anxiety and or depression, 13 percentage points higher than current players. These are players, they no longer had the sport to play, and they no longer had a sense of self. We need purpose to define who we are and where we fit and why we're important. You know, there's this story of this manuscript that was written. When I was taken to the concentration camp of Auschwitz, a manuscript of mine ready for publication was confiscated. Certainly, my deep desire to write this manuscript anew helped me to survive the rigors of the camps I was in. The purpose to finish the manuscript kept him alive. It's also, purpose can do a lot of things. It can cause even some frivolous change. You know, this episode of Rick and Morty was all about McDonald's bringing back McDonald's Szechuan sauce. And, you know, it was sort of a comedy, but fans went to the streets, went to McDonald's in a united sense of purpose and convinced McDonald's, who indeed brought back the Szechuan sauce. Or Tony's Chocolonely, which I hear is a big deal here in the Netherlands. Who here knows Tony's Chocolonely? Yeah, okay. You know, it comes out of an investigative reporter's ambition to create a line of chocolate that's created fairly, ethically, and now it's huge in Northern Europe. 20% of the chocolate market apparently is Tony's Chocolonely. So purpose can make us do kind of amazing things. The human species can do incredible things when they are driven with purpose. Travel to the moon, finish a marathon, build incredible, you know, structures around us. And I can tell you on a personal level, you know, that's what drove me and a couple other people to start Sylvain Labs, was we were struggling for a greater sense of purpose in our own life. And what we try to do is we try to bring people, the 40 of us or so, to share in a common purpose. And for us, what is that purpose? The way we describe it and the way we're trying to give it more meaning is to leverage the might of corporations for the greater good. This is what we do at Sylvain Labs. Whether you're talking about the work we do with Airbnb or the work we've done with Patagonia or American Express or Google, we're constantly trying to leverage the might of corporations for the greater good, whether they know it or not. So it's not uncommon. There are a lot of businesses, you've heard it, a lot of businesses are talking about profit over purpose. It's all the rage. You know, there's something called the Business Roundtable recently, where a number of CEOs made a commitment to putting profit over purpose. And you know, it's funny that the last couple of years I've been here, almost every presenter showed the Colin Kaepernick spot. It's pretty funny. Very, very popular and powerful moment in marketing because it was a brand taking a stand with purpose and it had real business results. And so this is another example of how profit and purpose coexist. And a lot of business leaders are arguing for the continued approach. Howard Schultz wrote this quote about how profit and purpose should work in concert. Or Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, which is also a client of ours, did this letter to CEOs, which was a really, really big deal 2 years ago, where he told companies they need to hold up purpose, because by holding up purpose, by putting social responsibility as a priority, you will actually perform better when it comes to business. And so the power of business in our culture is growing. And the increasing burden on business to be ethically driven is growing. Your brands have a role to play now beyond just selling products. In fact, people are looking for companies to lead change. You know, over the past 8 weeks, we've seen different letters and announcements by CEOs and companies taking real political stance, whether it's about gun laws in the US or about immigration or about climate change. Companies are coming together to almost substitute the role of government, perhaps even to substitute the role of religion. Brands and their purpose can save the world. There's potential, finally, We've been doing this marketing work for decades, selling cigarettes, doing shitty things. But now, brands, your brands, might even have the power to change and save the world. You know, we know brands are taking stands and actually making really big decisions. Airbnb famously is making a commitment to belonging anywhere. And that's why they've made such progress around diversity and inclusion. Or Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, helping us think differently about the food we eat and being more environmentally sensitive about those choices. Fenty, which has completely revolutionized the cosmetic industry by being more inclusive and more mindful about who's rocking the makeup. Or Veja, which come out of nowhere, thinking about sustainability and the environmental creation of these of goods. It's kind of a revolutionary. IKEA's unrelenting commitment to quality and to bringing quality to the home, making it more accessible for families. So purpose has the power to do really great things, but you know, the title of this talk is The Exploitation of Purpose. And that's because there's a dark side to this. There's a dark side of purpose. Purpose has begun to be used in a really dangerous way. I argue that brands have weaponized purpose. They've taken purpose and used it as a way to get in your wallets, to get your attention, to stand for something. It's like, oh, well, this brand believes in women's rights, so this brand is for me. It's bullshit. Brands are using it as a way. The wrong brands are using it in the wrong way. And I can give you tons of examples. You know, there's pink washing, which is, you know, those brands saying that we stand for women's rights when they themselves are making bad choices. State Street got a lot of attention for the Fearless Girl statue in Wall Street across from the Bull. And it is an amazing work of art. But when you learn more about State Street, you realize that they themselves had to settle a $5 million gender pay discrimination suit. Like, is there hypocrisy there? I think there is. Or rainbow washing. If you go to the Gay Pride Parade in New York, you see, and it's an amazing party, you'll see tons of brands there now, which is out of control, and a lot of banks are, you know, supporting, you know, choose your acronym. Now, the funny thing is that many of those banks do not award mortgages to same-sex couples. Same-sex couples are 73% more likely to get declined a mortgage, but yet they're promoting themselves at rainbow washing or green washing, where a lot of cosmetic brands are arguing that their products are environmentally friendly when in fact they're loaded with all sorts of toxins. Or how about woke washing? How about woke washing? You know, Gillette, this is the story of Gillette. I don't know if you know about this story. You know, last year they came out, or earlier this year, they came out with this spot and they talked about the best a man can be. And it was really about men taking accountability for, you know, discrimination and harassment and bullying. And, you know, Gillette's been around for decades. We all grew up with Gillette. And Gillette never had a point of view about anything other than razors. What right do they have to suddenly have a point of view about gender equality and the role of men? Like, that was out of nowhere. Suddenly, Gillette is like this austere, principled, earnest, wholesome brand who's going to tell me how to live as a man. It's completely out of control. It's woke washing. Every brands are using it as a weapon. And, you know, This slide, I can't even look at it because it drives me crazy. You know, Goodall, who was the commissioner of the NFL, just a few weeks ago signed Jay-Z to help the NFL deal with their issues around social justice because the NFL has blackballed Colin Kaepernick from playing. And to me, it breaks my heart because I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. And for me, it's just the NFL woke washing. It's looking for an ally in the African American community, perhaps one of the most powerful and important celebrities in that space to gain credibility. It was nothing but hollow advocacy. I argue that these brands that are woke washing, that are exploiting purpose, are doing nothing but asserting a sense of hollow advocacy. But let's take a step back and ask a really fundamental question. Can brands even have a conscience? You know, this idea of purpose, does it even make sense to say a brand has a purpose? Does that even make sense? I think the answer is complex. I think in some ways, yes. I don't know if you know what the B Lab is and the B certification. It's a standard that companies commit to of a certain level of social impact. They put social impact at the core of their company. Patagonia is the world's biggest B certified company. Sylvain Labs, we became B certified about a year and a half ago. There's one and only one social responsibility of business. to use its resources and engage in activities designed to increase its profits. Let's not be fooled. Companies are here to make money. That's what they're designed to do. That's what they are designed to do. So we need to be so careful, especially as brand marketers, when we give people the opportunity to identify with a brand. Because people choose these brands. They say, I am a Nike person. I am an Apple person. I think differently. But these brands, we have to remember what their motivation is and be careful about the work we're doing. Because sometimes, as I said before, there's hypocrisy. You know, Burger King did this work around mental health. And the irony was that they weren't paying a lot of their workers the wages that allowed them to treat their own mental health. Or Audi did a spot 2 years ago around gender pay equality, yet they didn't have any women on the executive team. They didn't have any women in the board of directors up until just a couple months ago. Is that not hypocritical? Or Tom's, you know, this idea of one for one. 5 years ago, if I was speaking here, I'd be talking about how awesome Tom's is. We all did. But we're starting to learn that the one-for-one model is perhaps dangerous when it comes to local communities. By flooding these communities with shoes, we're actually making an effort to make it hard for local shoemakers to actually thrive. Local shoe businesses are going out of business because the West is sending shoes to these areas. So we have to be careful about one-for-one. Purpose is not the same as ethical. Purpose and ethical are not the same thing. I mean, there are tons of atrocities over history that were done with purpose in mind. You know, there's the entire colonial conquest was with very clear purpose in mind. Or, you know, the KKK, clear purpose in mind. They act violence against African Americans or genocide. The whole idea of genocide is kind of dangerous. Atrocity. Or David Hasselhoff and his musical career, dangerous. Atrocity. Now, purpose has been used like crazy. Books, magazines, conferences, papers, purpose, 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 live a purpose life, purpose this, purpose driven that. It's been exploited. What can we do about it? How can we combat the exploitation of purpose? I argue purpose is easy, commitment is hard. It's easy to write down a very kind of amazing, powerful purpose statement about why we exist. It's really, that part is easy. But can you commit to it? Can you commit to it unrelentingly for the long term? And this is when I go back to John Rock. You know, John Rock started his crusade in 1930. He spent 30 years working to give women the right to control their bodies and control the and develop a sense of contraception. Literally, he worked in day and night for years, teaching, experimenting, talking about this in contexts and schools, that it was completely unheard of. Every day, we know about the invention in 1960. What a lot of people don't know about is the 30 years it took to get there. It's his commitment that drove that success in addition to the purpose. It's the commitment that fueled the purpose. When we are truly committed to something, we look for all the ways to make it happen, not in spite of our life circumstances, but within them. Commitment is key. Our brands, the brands you work on, they might have purpose statements written, but do they have commitment in their DNA? Have they committed to it over the long term? Are they willing to commit to it in the long term? And this is, again, where I talk about Patagonia, which is, to me, a great example of a company that has not exploited purpose. It is living a true purpose. Founded in 1973, you know, as early as 1986, they committed 1% of all their profits to environmental causes. 2018, because of the Trump tax breaks, they made millions and millions of dollars. They donated it all to environmental causes. Commitment. Yvonne Chouinard, the founder, from 1973 to 2019, unrelenting focus on one objective: to take care of the environment. Ben & Jerry's, another B Corporation, by the way, unrelenting purpose. They have this concept of linked prosperity. Everyone who works on that company, employees, suppliers, everybody, partners, they all are, Ben & Jerry's designed to make them all succeed. They have a commitment to linked, what they call linked prosperity. Or Lego, which is an amazing company because they're focused on children and creativity unrelentingly for decades. They don't do anything that falls outside of that. you know, a lot of our brands that we work on, they make choices, they try out a stretch and they go places. And you're like, why the fuck did you do that? Lego, so focused on that singular thing. And to me, Patagonia, Ben & Jerry's, Lego, they're all examples of a sort of ideal. What does a company filled with John Rocks look like? Imagine an organization where everybody was so committed to a higher order idea. And perhaps they all worked for a brand, perhaps they all worked for a product, but imagine if you were surrounded by others that were committed in the same way you were, to that degree. That to me is an ideal. That to me is what we look for. When we hire people at Sylvian Labs, we're looking for people who share that commitment and who are willing to commit to it for the long term, whether they're with us or not. Which takes me back to this quote, always stick to your own conscience. Let no one ever keep it for you. Brands shouldn't keep your conscience. Brands shouldn't, aren't the owners of your conscience. Not as humans, not as consumers, not as brand advocates. The brands that we support are not mouthpieces for our own purpose. To me, all of this starts with the individual. And so my challenge to you today, my question to you today is, what is your purpose? How do you commit to it? How does it come to life in your daily life, in your consumer behavior, in the work you do on behalf of brands in this capitalist society? What is your purpose and where does it fit? Because if this humble physician could go up against the Vatican on behalf of this greater cause, shouldn't we, in this work we do more? My name is Alain Sylvain, founder and CEO of Sylvain Labs. Thank you so much for your time. We'll see you next year. Yeah.